Blog Talk Radio.
Body cam video investigators in Ohio have released showing the moment an officer fatally shot a pregnant woman that was accused of shoplifting. CNN's Miguel Marquez has been following this story, and he joins us now. Miguel, of course, we have to warn our viewers that this video is graphic.
It is graphic. It is also just unfortunate in the extreme, just a really tragic incident. This is in Blendon Township, Ohio, just in the northeast suburbs of Columbus. It happened August 24th. 21-year-old Takiyah Young was coming out of the Kroger. She was accused by somebody that worked at the store of shoplifting. Two officers happened to be in the parking lot that day at that time trying to help somebody get into their car that they had locked their keys into. Officer 2 approaches the side of the car. Officer 1 comes around the front. We want to show you a bit of this video.
Out of the car.
6-7, back in service,
1828. Get out of the car. Get out.
Get out of the car.
So
the officer 2, who was at the side of the car, asks about 10 times for her to get out of the car that she's been accused of shoplifting. She refuses. You see her turning away. Officer 1 comes in front of the car. She turns the wheel away and starts to drive away. And as she does, Officer 1 fires a single shot into the windshield of that car, hitting her. She later died of her injuries. The baby that she was carrying that was due in November, that child did not make it either. This is all under investigation by Ohio's Bureau of Criminal Investigation right now. Officer 2, the individual who was at the side of that car asking her to get out of the car, has been returned to duty. And Officer 1, who fired the fatal shot, is still under investigation. Back to you.
And quickly, Miguel, Young's family says that she is innocent and that she deserves accountability.
They do, and that is under investigation, and they want this officer charged as quickly as possible.
Miguel Marquez.
It could take weeks or months.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as you just heard, another black woman has been murdered, this time in Ohio, and this happened again August 23rd, I believe it was, and the video is just being released this week that showed exactly what happened based on the cameras that the police had. To recap, her name, of course, is Sister Takiyah Young is her name, and she was 21 years of age, and pregnant, as indicated in the report, and also she was the mother of 2. So now we are looking at 2 children again whose mother is taken away at the hands of police. And again, to recap, why they claim they shot her is because they gave her a command or order, if you may, to come out of her vehicle. And when she did not do that, the officer shot directly into the car through the window and, of course, hitting her. That caused her fatal injuries to both she and her unborn child. So with that said, family, at some point we are going to ask you to give your views, opinions about this particular situation. We're going to talk more about it a little later on. But clearly, it is time to begin to reevaluate some things and certainly to not only do a reevaluation or a more in-depth evaluation but certainly to look now more at what it is we really must begin to do. And needless to say, we certainly need to do quite a bit, certainly more than what we have been. And it's not to say, of course, that our people, many have not been doing a variety of things, but certainly we now need to do some other things. And what I mean by that is the development of new nations. We have to begin to do some things that are a little different, needless to say. And so the development of new societies first and then new nations is imperative. As we talk more about reparatory justice, then certainly the development of new nations, independent, sovereign, or what I call autonomous, is not only possible, it is very necessary. So we're going to start having more conversations about that and other things as we proceed. At any rate, tonight we're going to also talk about the murder of Brother Rasheem Carter. We did have Sister Crystal and family members of Brother Rasheem on our radio program a few weeks ago. And at that point, there was a rally that was being discussed, which was decided to be postponed because there was another rally that was taking place in the same area. And so the rally has been rescheduled. It is going to take place October the 15th in Mississippi. And so a call is going out to our people to come to Mississippi. You know, I was trying to queue up something, one of my favorites, many favorites actually, but certainly when the Empress, the Saint Nina Simone came out with her rendition of Mississippi Goddamn, certainly it is a very appropriate song for what is going on there. And so we're going to talk to Sister Crystal very shortly, and she's going to talk to us about what's coming up on October the 15th, but also there are quite a few other murders in Mississippi that have not been talked about and certainly not resolved. And so we are going to talk with her a little more about that as well. The hangings, the murders, the lynchings of particularly black men in just the Mississippi area alone. So again, we're going to talk to Sister Crystal Muhammad, who is, of course, the chairperson, chairwoman for the new Black Panther Party. So she will be coming up very shortly. And also, we are going to get a special report from our brother, Reuben Fellows. It is just incredible about what's going on in Chicago. I mean, as usual, there's always something going on in Chicago. But to hear what is happening there, particularly when it comes to immigrants or migrants, as some call it. Again, we'd like to really hear your opinion, family, about what you think in terms of what's going on. There we go. About what's going on in the Chicago area as it pertains to the immigrant situation. There's a lot of monies, a lot of dollars that are presently being circulated in Chicago and in other cities in support of the immigrants that are coming into those various cities. Well, some people are not very pleased with that at all. In fact, I'm going to share a clip with you that I think you might find kind of interesting, and this will kind of set the tone for the dialogue that we're going to have a little later on. We'd like for you to check this out, family. And again, we will have more dialogue about it a little later. This is a sister in Chicago who has something that she would like to share about what she think is going on or shouldn't be going on. Let's cue this up. I'm going to cue this up for you in a minute. Okay, here we go.
Been hearing that site looks like basically a bomb went off. So I'm concerned about the site where the migrants are.
I don't want them there. Take them someplace else or send them back to Venezuela. I don't care where they go.
This is wrong. You got 73% of the people homeless in this city are not people. What have you done for them?
That was Miss Lewis, a former Chicago teacher, speaking out after more than 100 migrants are bused to hotels in her community. And Miss Lewis joins us now. Miss Lewis, thank you for joining us this morning. Before these people were bused into your neighborhood at Hyde Park, were any of the leaders who brought them there, did they inform the community?
No one informed us about the immigrants, illegal immigrants coming into Hyde Park. And it's not 100. There are 300 people at the Lakeshore Hotel, which is literally right across the street from me. They started moving them in on Friday. There was a meeting held on Wednesday night, an emergency meeting, that the alderman of the 5th Ward, who is Desmond Yancey, he held that meeting, and it was standing room only. It was packed. I did not go to that meeting to ask any questions because no one asked the residents of the Newport condominium any questions before they put them over there. I went there to do exactly what I did, disrupt, interrupt. You put 300 migrants right across the street from the Newport condominium, a condominium where a lot of retired teachers and doctors, nurses live. We have worked hard to live here. We pay a lot of money. It's very expensive to live here. Yet we have immigrants across the street from us who are not paying one dime. The taxpayers of the city of Chicago are funding their lifestyle. They are living on Lakeshore Drive, which is prime property here in the city of Chicago, here in Hyde Park. The citizens of Chicago are funding these people. Yet in the city of Chicago, you have a serious homeless problem. There are between 68,000 to 70,000 homeless people in the city of Chicago. Many of them, most of them are black. 76% of these homeless people are black. What is the city doing for them? Nothing. What is the city doing for Americans, Chicagoans, legal citizens of this country, of this city? They're not doing anything to help us, to help them. I see homeless people walking the streets every day with their dirty clothes, their little carts of the meager things that they have. The city is not doing anything for them. We don't have a responsibility to take care of illegal immigrants. It is the responsibility of the Johnson administration. It is the responsibility of the governor of Illinois and the city of Chicago. It's their responsibility to take care of Chicagoans, Americans, legal citizens, and they're not doing that. And I am very upset about it. And let me point out something else. All of these people who are coming in here, they're not angels. They're murderers. There's drug dealers. There's prostitution going on in this city. This city has serious problems that they're not addressing. And we don't like it. We want Mayor Johnson to move these people out of our communities. They're coming onto our property. We are being accosted by them, asking for money, telling us that they need jobs. Well, the Newport condominium is not an employment office. It is a residential area, and I am sick and tired of what's going on. They're sitting on our benches, and I walked up on two about a month ago because they've been here for a while. I walked up on two of these illegal immigrants urinating on the building. This is not what I paid for. This is not what the citizens, the residents of the Newport condominium paid for. I don't want to live around these kinds of people. Send them back to Mexico. Send them back to Venezuela. Send them back to wherever they came from and take care of Chicagoans. Mayor Johnson, Governor Priska, this is your responsibility. Yeah. These are our tax dollars that are taking care of these people.
Well, Ms. Lewis, I feel your passion. I would add Joe Biden to that list because that policy starts with him. Really quick note for you, Vivek Ramaswamy, one of the Republican candidates for president, said that when he talked about his policy to control illegal immigration, that it was never better received than in the inner city African American communities. And when he said that, the New York Times said, that's not true. African Americans don't care about this issue. You certainly...
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do care about this issue because this is compromising our lifestyle. It's compromising our health. It's compromising everything that we believe in the black community. Yes, we do. Yes, we do care about this. And anyone who's saying that, they are mistaken. We don't want these people here. Send them back to Mexico. Send them back to Venezuela. They should go back to their countries and build up their countries as Black Americans and as Americans in general have done in this country. We are the descendants of enslaved Africans who helped to make America what it is. And for America to ignore our problems, for America, for the Brandon Johnson and Governor Pritzker to ignore this homeless problem here in Chicago and use taxpayers' money to house illegal immigrants, they are wrong. They are sellouts. They do not care about the citizens of Chicago. And I want to say to Black politicians, you are failing your people. We put you in there to represent us, but it is the responsibility of these politicians to take care of Chicagoans first, not illegal immigrants. Send them back home.
Well, Ms. Lewis, you are certainly a woman who knows how to speak her mind. We appreciate you coming on, and we encourage the New York Times to interview you as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
God bless.
Okay. Yep, she definitely knew how to speak her mind. Ooh-wee. So, with that said, very shortly we are going to talk with Brother Reeven. Of course, he is our Chicago correspondent, our boots on the ground brother. And he's going to give us even some more insight into what's going on, because he definitely walks through the hoods all over Chicago. He's very well received by the people there wherever he goes, and cannot wait to hear what his conversation with us is going to be about in regards to that particular situation.
Oops.
Hold on one moment.
I'm
not sure what is going on here. Let me try something real quick. Okay, there we go. Something popped back up, which I wasn't trying to have pop back up. There we go. Got rid of it. Okay, so now, moving right along, family. Again, we are going to talk to Brother Reeven, and also is another topic. Oh, yeah, elementary school. Now, question, when did you all start getting sex education in school? Well, in Chicago, it's elementary school. So that, too, is one of the areas that we're going to be talking with Brother Reeven fellows about, meaning, again, sex education for children in elementary school. Now, again, this just points out we need to have our own schools, needless to say. And so, again, that will be another conversation that we will have very shortly. So listen, let me do this real quick. I was checking to see if Sister Crystal was in queue yet, and I'm not seeing her. So let me check to see what might be going on. In the meantime, family, listen, if you have something you want to share with us, we certainly would appreciate it if you could press 1. Yeah, we're waiting for you to call in.
Okay, what's the link?
Okay, 319-527-6189.
I'm sorry about that. Can't,
okay.
Hold on.
All right, family. So we are going to
319-527-6189. Call in right now.
All right, family. She did not have the call-in number, so she has it now. So listen, while we're waiting for her to call in, let's get you on. I mean, let's get some of our folks on for some quick comments or updates or announcements. So we're going to go to caller at 2816. Caller at 2816. Your mic is open. Welcome
Living
to the
front line.
All right,
Living
all right. How's my brother this evening?
Great. How about you?
Oh, always. I'm here. You know, so,
I know that's the truth.
Know.
I just want to just say something with a little humor, to share a little humor in this serious situation. We had sex education in my school, but it was during recess. Bye.
Oh, okay. Great. All right. Moving right along. Thank you. All right, so listen, let's go to, okay, I do see Sister Crystal in queue. So, again, family, we are going to kind of transfer our thought processes for a minute and get into the format of tonight's program, which, again, We started off with talking about the murders of, well, the murder of a young sister, 21 years of age, who was accused of shoplifting. And from what I've been told or from what I've been able to research thus far, it appears that she was accused incorrectly, and that did not happen. She did not walk out of the store with any items that she did not pay for. So that in itself, you know, just adds insult to injury. Needless to say, you know, for her to be dead, to be murdered, even if she did steal something or liberate something, as we call it, for her to be murdered for that, give me a break. You know, and again, we will talk more about that a little later on. But again, family, before we go to Sister Crystal, I want you please to think about that, to think about what is going on in our communities, but also what are we talking about actually doing, not just reacting, but actually planning to do. Are we looking at the development of our own independent everything? And that, again, is one of our new slogans, motto, and it is our own everything forever. Okay. We'll talk more about that a little later on. But, again, I see Sister Crystal in queue. So we're going to now, and family, listen, unless you have a very good memory, please get some pen and pencil and paper or whatever, because some of the names that you're going to hear are not names that I'm sure most of you are familiar with. I know I wasn't, and it doesn't mean that you are not, but I'm just saying, just to be on the safe side, you need to hear the names and then write them down. And then, of course, do some further investigation, some further research, so that when we do have the next conversations or strategy sessions or what have you, you will have done, you know, some preliminary other kinds of research that we need to share with our people. So without further ado, let's go to our live line. And let's welcome Sister Muhammad, Crystal Muhammad back to New Day. And again, we're going to talk about, again, the murder of Brother Rasheem Carter, as well as others in Mississippi, hung, murdered, what have you, that we need to be more aware of, and how this is all going to be connected to the rally that's coming up, which is justice for Brother Rasheem Carter and his family. And again, you know, as Sister Crystal will share with us, you know, Mississippi has a real interesting background, very interesting. And, you know, as many have kind of felt the evil that has come out of that state, as with many southern states over the years, over the decades. But it just seems Mississippi got really something going on there. Again, going back to our great empress, Nina Simone, I mean, there's a reason, as far as I'm concerned, why she wrote that song, Mississippi Goddamn. Certainly, we're going to hear that tonight as to what that really alludes to. So without further ado, let's open up our mic and let's talk to our sister, Crystal Muhammad. And again, we're going to talk about justice for Brother Rasheem Carter and his family and for our communities as well. Hey, Sister Crystal, how are you this evening?
Oh, greetings, Empress Chi. I'm doing just fine. I'm doing just fine. Black power to you and your team and all of the listening audience. We say that and not only as a greeting, but as an affirmation that we are, you know, affirming that we have the power, you know, because we are such a powerful people. The fact is we have to acknowledge and realize that, you know, there are people who envy us, you know. Mm-hmm. We are actually, you know, a very great people. We're very beautiful people just by nature, by stature. You know, if you just look at black people anywhere, you see we have our own energy, our presence. You know, it dominates the atmosphere. And these Europeans and their counterparts, they're not only very envious of us, but they have a deep-seated hatred, you know. And what has been taking place from Mississippi to the police killings, We are under a direct attack, and it is really, as far as the state is concerned, you know, with the police killings and how the police departments and the district attorneys and the attorney generals and Department of Justice fails to address, you know, these heinous crimes against humanity that keep taking place to us, is because we are the target of ethnic cleansing and genocide. And we have to address that and talk about it. We are under constant state of warfare and terrorism by the state. And individual, you know, Europeans feel like they know that they're going to get away with whatever vigilante act they do, be it a lynching, be it a shooting down a child, be it anything that they do, because they know that the system of so-called white supremacy sanctions it, and that there's an open war going on. And until we get to the face reality of what we're dealing with, we're going to continue to keep being victims upon victims, that we have to speak up about what's going on. You know, as it relates to the young sister, you know, that you mentioned in Ohio that was gunned down, murdered, and, you know, that, see, the police are the local municipal military, and we need to understand that is what they are. When the military goes overseas and murders someone, Their soldiers are not, you know, convicted for murder. They're operating under the guise of the United States government. And this is what the police are doing as we speak. We are being subjected. We are being oppressed. We are being targeted for our ethnic demise, from the lynchings that are going on, from the police murders, from the constant propagation of us to not duplicate ourselves. You know, people might get upset or not, but when you are promoting a culture of homosexuality, that automatically kills a generation from producing without firing a weapon. You know, we are under constant attack. There is not one program on television, on Netflix, where you don't see them emasculating the black man. He's going to be the one character on the show, and he's going to be the homosexual. The same way if it's a sister. They will never show a healthy black male and female relationship, and it's, they've been going extra with this promotion since the pandemic, because a lot of people been home. And this all ties into ethnic cleansing. It ties into these lynchings I'm about to list. It ties into the police murders, not murders, the acts of genocide that the police are doing on a daily basis. A lot of these cases, we might catch them because it might got put on social media, but this is happening on a daily basis across the country. And when you told me about the young lady in Ohio, it didn't even hit our local media here. Just like you mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago about a person, which they thoroughly buried it in the media, that was found hanging in Austin, Texas, but it never made the newsways in Houston, Texas. And so that's why your program is so important, because you're touching on these cases that, you know, there's been a media whiteout about. These lynchings that I'm going to tell you about, and I'm going to go in chronological order from when we got involved, is in Mississippi, you know. And there were other incidences in Texas, but I'm going to focus on Mississippi right now. In 2015, we were actively doing, I'm saying we, the New Black Panther Party, were actively on the ground in Mississippi, you know, doing some recruitment, because my stomping ground is the southern region, which includes New Orleans, where I was born at, and Houston, Texas, where I stay at. So our region is in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. And this is, and being in this region, we are constantly, you know, being made alert of different incidences. Well, in 2015, we were called about a man by the name of Otis Byrd, who was lynched in Mississippi. Now, everybody is aware about James Byrd, who was lynched in Georgia, Texas. But right. Otisburg, they're not related, but he was hung in the backyard in Port Gibson, Mississippi. It's about 20, 30 minutes away from Jackson, Mississippi, which is the capital of Mississippi. He was found hung 15 feet in the air with his hands tied to the back and a bag over his head in the backyard of the family of which he had did 26 years in prison for allegedly killing their daughter. He had his own house now. He had a job. You know, there's trees all over his house. And his part of town was on the black side of town. And this was on the white people's side of town, Port Gibson. It is no way in God, natural planet Earth, that, number one, he would leave his house walking. And on all, you know, even though he had a vehicle,
right,
and walk and go to these people's yard and fly up in 15 feet in the air with his hands tied and a rope, you know, a bag on his head and hang himself. And immediately there's even if this was in Claiborne County, with Port Gibson is the city, it's part of Claiborne County, Mississippi. So the Claiborne County Sheriff's were out there, Port Gibson Police was out there, but who comes in and takes over these cases is called the Mississippi Bureau of Investigation. They have their own Bureau of Investigation, in which the state, you know, covers the issues to keep the FBI out. Although the FBI could do something, and the FBI has been made aware of almost all of these cases I'm going to tell you about. The Department of Justice, the United States Department of Justice, is aware of all of these cases because these families have retained attorneys. There's been demonstrations. You know, we've left no stone unturned as it comes to trying to get justice for these families. So Otisburg was hung in 2015 in the backyard of the parents of the white lady he had been accused of murdering after doing 26 years in jail. And the entirety of the time while he was in jail, he proclaimed his innocence. Okay, that's Otisburg. The Mississippi Bureau of Investigation, the Port Gibson Police, as well as the Claiborne County Sheriff's Department, declared it a suicide. A suicide. Okay? We know it was a lynching. We know that it is a cover-up. We know that, you know, it is just straight up what we call KKK-ish policing and so-called law enforcement going on in Mississippi. We can't prove that they're the KKK, but they're, as we say, they're KKK-ish. Okay?
Right.
Well, we can prove it, you know what I'm saying, by their actions, but, you know, so that was in 2015, you know, that's less than 10 years ago. Okay. Then in 2017, a young man by the name of Philip Carroll, this time is in Jackson, Mississippi. He had an argument, a fight. It must have been a kind of rough fight because the neighbors next door, it was a duplex. So, you know, in a duplex, you can hear what's going on next door. They could hear an altercation went on between Philip Carroll and his white girlfriend. She left and, you know, they can hear her say she's going to get her folks or whatever. The next thing you know, that night, he was found hanging in his backyard, the backyard of the duplex. The same night after he had this argument, the white girl leaves, say she going to get her people. The Jackson Police Department, the Mississippi Bureau of Investigation come in and they declared it a suicide. So we came down there. The neighbor next door, everybody that knew what happened, told us all the specifics of what happened. And when we got there, we were actually heading to, we were getting ready to head to Newark, New Jersey to deal with another matter. But we made a point to stop and do an investigation and get all of the information on Philip Carroll's case. So, and by the time we left Jackson for that weekend and came back, by the time we made it back, on the way back, we heard about, they said they found a decapitated head. Some kids found a head on the porch, and then they found later that day, some other people found his body on fire, a young brother by the name of Jeremy Jackson. This is in 2017. In the same weekend, Philip Carroll was lynched in his backyard after fighting with a white girl. We don't know who was involved with Jeremy Jackson, what actually happened to him. His family said he was out cutting the grass. Next thing you know, he was missing. So he was found decapitated, body set on fire. So we rushed back to Mississippi. When we got there, there was a church burning that we witnessed. There was a black elementary school that had been vandalized, and they sprayed nigger all over the school sign. The people's house across the street that were black had swatched the stickers. It was like an open environment where we know it was Klan activity taking place. And guess what the police said?
What?
This is, must have been young kids playing the jokes. This is what the police say. This is young kids went and sprayed nigger all over the schoolyard and threw rocks and swastika stickers at the preacher. It was actually the man whose house was vandalized across from the church. I mean, from the school was a minister. And there was a cross from Jackson State this same weekend. It was like they went on a rampage. The same weekend when the brother was decapitated, there was a church that had a food shelter. You know, it was set on fire. So that was the building that we were saying is the church. Even though it didn't have like actual services, it was a outreach place for the community that the church ran. So that was what was set on fire. You know, but what the people were saying is that when we left, after we came and did our field investigation, they said over 50 white men, white boys, came through that neighborhood basically harassing and terrorizing that community where Jeremy Jackson was, decapitated. And same way, the house that we had went to investigate where Philip Carroll was lynched, the neighbors were just so scared to talk by the time we came back because of this terroristic attack that took place on the city of Jackson. Was it in the national media? No. We sent it to press releases to every news outlet you could name. The Otis Bird case, we sent the information out. There was a media whiteout on these lynchings that are going on in Mississippi. Okay, that was 2015 with Otis Bird, 2017 is Philip Carroll and Jeremy Jackson. And then in 2018, we got a call about a young man by the name of Willie Jones Jr. in the town of Forest, Mississippi. And it's about 45 minutes out of Jackson. And this young man had a child by a white girl, a little baby, but he wasn't more than 2 years old. Well, Willie had gotten into it with the white girlfriend. They had like an altercation, whatever. And so she was upset, but the children's mother came to Willie's house, picked them up. They were supposed to be going to her mother's house. They lynched Willie in their front yard. And it was the mama, daddy, grandpa, brothers, cousins, about 12 different white folks in that house. And when the police showed up at Forest, Mississippi, they immediately declared it a suicide. Immediately. And so, you know, this situation that most recently happened, it'll be 1 year coming up on October the 2nd in Taylorville, Mississippi. A young brother by the name of Rasheem Carter was working as a contract worker for a company, and he got into it with his boss. I guess they made threats at him. And what is being said, which we found out recently, is that allegedly, you know, someone may have assumed that he was flirting with a white security guard girl. Mm-hmm. That hasn't been confirmed yet. But we were trying to find out because all of these other cases, you know, it tied back to the white girl. It tied back to the white girl, like Emmett Till. It hasn't stopped. These people have not stopped. The family of Emmett Till never got justice in Mississippi. Philip Carroll, Jeremy Jackson, Otis Byrd, Willie Jones Jr., and now Rasheem Carter. Rasheem Carter's case, he was got into it and made and his boss, the person who hired him, had actually made threats, you know, to him, to the fact where Willie was so afraid because he had caught a ride, but the people since he got into it with the folks at the job, you know, they were no longer trying to help him, you know, so he goes into town to try to get some help. And he called his mother. Well, he called his mother after he got into it with the guy that he worked for, whose name is, for the record, Stephen Clement. He was working for Stephen Clement. He, Rasheem Carter, told his mom, you know, I guess after the application, you know, if anything happens to me, know that, you know, after what, you know that is Stephen Clement has something to do with it. You know, because the threats and stuff that they made to him, you know, when he left the work site. So he later called his mom, you know, out of breath, saying that three truckloads of white men were chasing him and that he thought that his boss had something to do with it, were chasing him through the town. So his mom told him to go to the police department. He ran to the Taylorville Police Department. This is Taylorville, Mississippi. He ran to the Taylorville Police Department for help. They refused to help him. They didn't go out to see what was going on, you know, and make matters worse. He was still trying to call his mother back, and he called her back, and then the phone was going dead. He asked them to use the charger. Did they have a charger? Because his phone was going dead. They refused to even give him assistance with a charger to charge his phone while he's coming in to get for safety after being chased in town by some white boys. And they asked him to leave the police department, the police station. So he goes over to he winds up going over to the Family Dollar, and there are witnesses that say that some white boys came in and shoving at him in the Family Dollar. Now, his mom, in the meantime, was trying to get there, but she also had a good friend of hers to head down to Taylorville to get Rasheem that could get there sooner than she could get there. But by the time they got there, Rasheem was nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. And so he wanted, you know, so they came to ask the police department for help. Taylorville Police Department would not help them. The family had to go out and start organizing their own search. And this is when they started. They found bones in the woods, not far from the area of Taylorville. And so there were bones. And unfortunately, after it was tested, you know, it was verified that it was Rasheem Carter. And so the police have not did anything to help this family. In fact, it happened in October. It wasn't until February that the family was even able to get some of the remains to even have a service. Yeah, it's really horrific. They only got 15 his skull and like 15 bones is what they turned over to the mother. Horrific, and no investigation, no foul play found. No investigation of the white boys chasing them. No investigation of what the witnesses are saying at the Family Dollar. Nothing by the Taylorville police, the sheriff department, the district attorney, and of course, guess who's on top of it? The Mississippi Bureau of Investigation and the FBI and all of these cases have been reported fact by fact. And in the Willie Jones case, there was a civil suit that was won just a couple of years ago, but it wasn't won against the family that did it. The attorney sued the insurance of the property owner in which that family was renting from someone. They sued the insurance of the property owner.
Right.
This is the only So it's like it's no one's been held accountable in any of these situations whatsoever. And so, you know, for as far as the Rasheem Carter's case, October will mark the 1 year since he came up missing. And so we're calling for a demonstration for justice. Yeah. His family have a flyer, and they're calling it Angelversary, Angelversary, right. Instead of anniversary. And so that is going to take place on October the 14th in Taylorville, Mississippi. The demonstration will be in front of the Taylorville Police Station located at 109 James Street in Taylorville, Mississippi. That's 109 James Street in Taylorville, Mississippi. And that will be Saturday, October the 14th at 12 p.m. So we're asking for everyone to come out and stand for justice for Rasheem. We're asking for everyone to put pressure on the U.S. Attorney General to get the Department of SoCal Justice to truly investigate not only this case, but all the cases. And we need this anti-lynching act to actually be put in force, you know,
yes.
On as far as these are the things that we are fighting for domestically. But what we also need to do, Empress Chi, we need to bring all of these cases in a very aggressive and a strategic way before, you know, the United Nations for crimes against humanity.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
We leave no in ethnic cleansing and genocide and the government's failure to protect. And these
that's
are
right.
all cases, and under international law, the remedy is reparation. Because
that's
we
right.
see and know that there are no courts in this nation that honor or respect the lives of Black people, just as if the time of Dred Scott, and that the Supreme Court has never overruled Dred Scott, have they? You know, they still, to this day, as Justice Tanner said, with the Dred Scott, the white man does not honor, or I'm paraphrasing, how do you say it? The Black man has no rights that, you know, the white man has to respect. And this is still the law of the land, which goes back to what you said. Before I came on, started speaking, that we need to have our own nation. We have been
that's
subjects
right.
of this government since 1868, with the passage of the 14th Amendment, 1865,
yeah.
which
yeah.
made us subjects. We didn't agree to that. We didn't
that's
have
right.
a consensus to say, hey, you know what? After enslaving us for 400 years. We want y'all to be our rulers and stay over us. We did not agree with that. We don't agree with that. It was never a consensus. This was forced upon us. And since that day, they immediately, this is when the lynching started, after 1865, because prior to that, we were considered so-called property. After the lynchings, after 1865, they came up with the Black Codes, you know, and the lynchings went crazy, and it has been a continuum, I'm saying. When did it ever stop?
That's right. And what that says, Sister Crystal, not only when did it ever stop, but now look at the obvious increase, and in different ways now, you see. So we're clearly not only, you know, is genocide being inflicted upon us, but what I call a very systematic, sophisticated type of genocide. And as you indicated earlier, and we also put in our documents, this is, in fact, ethnic cleansing. But now make sure that we put it in the perspective, because when you read a lot of the genocide information, it almost becomes a little ambiguous, meaning, and even with a lot of our people, in their minds, and in many of our people's minds, when we say genocide, they think of the Jews in the gas chamber, in the gas situation, right? But we have to help to make our people a little clearer on what genocide also is and has been. And that's really our job and responsibility. But again, in talking with our people, a lot of our people, when they hear the word genocide, they tend to think about it in the context of the Jewish Holocaust and not the African
Muslims. Well, let's take that. Even with that, who were the perpetrators of the Jewish Holocaust? It was the military, the government, and their civilian contractors that did this. And this is who are the perpetrators on us. It is the government. It is the civilian, It is the norm and the way of life in America, and we are in denial about it far too much. We think just because we see beautiful black people on TV with nice clothes on and got a little money that somehow everything has changed. But no, look at those beautiful black people. I'm going to say it. You got the most beautiful black women with the most Europeanist hairdos. You have the most beautiful black people who are behaving like self-hate against each other. It's not a program right. where they're not, you know, you can't, you mean to tell me you can't have successful black people together and they not, you know, calling each other the B word and, you know, ready to just, you know, go at each other. It's straight up with a lynching place. You know what I'm saying? You know, so we got, you know, light. They have even reignited the old light skin, dark skin stuff lately. That's crazy. You know, they're making it, it's like a little say, oh, you acting light skin, oh, you acting dark skin. What the? It's craziness. And as long as we allow it, it will happen. But as long as we stand up against it, we are getting a lot of momentum, I can say, in some respects, because, you know, but it's like we have a rise and then we fizzle out, you know.
That's
we
right.
get,
yep.
you know, we rise and then we fizzle out.
That's
but,
right.
you know, but we have to keep fighting. We have to remind everybody, our people have always resisted. It has always been a core that said, nah, we're not going for this. Nah.
That's right.
You know, there's always been, from the moment that these people first started, you know, hit the shores of Africa and started, you know, we have always had the freedom fighters. We have to increase our numbers. We need to start doing other strategies politically, like, you know, we talked about before. But we have to tell the truth about what our condition is. We are a people who are in a state of war, and we are fighting an enemy who is vicious and unrelenting, who knows we are their enemy. We are the ones so gullible to keep trying to imitate and force our way and be a part of a system and a people who don't give a damn about us, who want to see us gone. They want us off the planet.
That's right.
And they're doing everything they can to make this happen. They're intimidated by us. Just, and I want to speak up on us, talk us up. We are a bad people. I mean, bad meaning good. I mean, we just
right,
like 100
right.
and some years. We just 100-some years out of slavery, and we have literally
right.
basically taken over everything. There is not a sector. Anything we do, we dominate it. Anything we do it with grace. Even the foolishness we do. You can't even out drag queen a drag queen. You know what I'm saying? It's like even a gangster. You're going to be a gangster. Our little brothers are just two gangsters, but they two gangsters on each other.
Right,
watch when
right.
they get it together and get it with the real enemy. And that is what's inevitable. And I'm going to say this. These white people know it. This is why they're turning up their viciousness. They're turning up their wickedness because you know why? Before these, can I say cracker? I don't know. But before,
yes,
this is your radio show. Before
yes,
these crackers came out of Europe, they went through thousands of years of white-on-white crime. White-on-white crime. This is a fact. They did horrible things to each other. But when them beasts were released and went across the earth, they initiated and have been initiating white on black, crimes against humanity, warfare. Saying white on black warfare. Now that we have been under their system of rulership and made nuts out of our mommy, who wouldn't be nuts after what we've been through? It's been what? Black on black crime. Now, what's the inevitable in that cycle? Black on white is going to be next. These devils know it. So in every way that they can, because you are not going to keep doing what you're doing to us. Please understand this. They are not going to keep getting away with it. It's already, we already got a generation that don't give a damn about them. We got young people. They got tattoos on their thighs. They know they're not going to get in corporate America. They know they don't stand a chance and don't even worry about it. But once they come to understand who they are and really see who the real enemy is, it's a wrap. And this is what, and so what we need to do is we need to take our greatness. These young brothers are killing each other because they're killers. So we need to take that energy, and they need to be trained to become protectors of our community. Because they're born warriors, but their energy is misdirected. That energy needs to be directed to become protectors and defenders of our communities. And it's going to come a time, and it's happening real soon, where ain't nobody going to be able to come in and do nothing because the trust in police is gone. And it's up to us to, you know, to guide it, because pretty soon it ain't going to be nothing for us to say.
That's right.
We suggest that the so-called Department of Justice take care of their business, because they're creating and are justifying the outline for anarchy. I'm not talking about the anarchist little dreadlock baffled, Europeans that walk around calling themselves the anarchy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where people have no disregard. You're not gonna be able to drive your police car through nowhere. Because they have made themselves clearly to be the enemy of black people. And then they've created the arrogance with their little, the white boys don't have. If I do something to them, they're not going to do nothing. But people are stepping up. People are standing up. And we are the law. We go by the law. You know what I'm saying? You don't see black people going out lynching people and doing nothing as the aggressor.
That's right.
If anything ever occurs, it's going to be in self-defense. That's our nature. As crazy as we are, and I'm going to even say this about the quote-unquote black-on-black, every nation fight against their own kind. It's white-on-white crime. It's Mexican-on-Mexican crime. It's Asians against Asians, because you're going to play where you lay. But when you go one race against another race, that's when it's called a war.
That's right.
And that's what's taking place.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. So it's like, man, it's just getting worse. They're so arrogant with it. Trump really got them with their chest out. You know what I'm saying? And these people are writing a check that they're not going to be able to cash much longer. You cannot keep messing over. Our people are just trying to survive at this moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Food prices are high, and so as it stands right now, Queen, we have, we want to keep getting information out about Rasheen Carter and whatever issues that we have in our community. We're asking for like-minded brothers and sisters in whatever lane that you're in to step up to the plate. Support Queen Empress Chi and the powerful work that she's doing. Support the new Black Panther Party. We just, we don't even, we require a certain caliber of maturity and of consciousness to be in our organization. And we require study. We require training. We require community work. We want people to be of right mind and understanding before they even step to us. So if you have not even got to that level, start studying. Get involved in your church, your mosque, wherever you at. But everybody got to be doing something. You mean to tell me you can't take 2 hours out of, you work for these people for 40 hours a week. You can't do 2 hours to help your community a week. I think we can. We need to start putting the power into the hands of the people and getting people to understand the responsibility of getting justice for us is going to come from us. And that's that, you know. Yes, ma'am, Black Power. I get so passionate, you know, because I'm tired of seeing these mothers shaking from trauma, you know, and not, you know, I'm sorry is not good enough. It feels like just giving throwing a tic-tac in the ocean when, you know, we have to, you know, really step up to the plate, brothers and sisters. And just pushing like and sharing on social media is not enough. Get on the ground. Get on the ground. Come in Mississippi on October the 14th. Don't be afraid of these people. These people, and I want to say this, on all of these cases, they always catch you when you're by yourself. When we come in unity, they fold. Our unity is what we need. These cowards, they always catch you by yourself. They haven't changed their ways. So that's what, you know, I have to say on that. If you have any other questions, you know, I'm here. But, you know, I don't know. I'm sorry. Let me tell them to turn the music down in the background. Can you hear that music in the back?
Yeah, I do. But it's all right, sister.
Okay,
with all of what you just said, interestingly enough, that just covered all over the music. We didn't even really hear that, just a little bit. But please share with the family how they can connect with you and you know, make sure that we get more information to them and so forth. Please share your contact information.
Yes, ma'am. You can contact the New Black Panther Party by going to nbpp.org. That's N as in New, B as in Black, P as in Panther, P as in Party.org. nbpp.org. You can hit that website, and it's going to give you all of the ways of contacting us and getting involved in the activities that we are involved in nationwide and internationally, because we have a chapter in South Africa as well as in London.
All right. And just to recap again, Sister Crystal, one more time, the date, the time, the location for the rally on October 15th.
Yes, October 15th, Justice for Rasheem Carter, October the 14th at 12 noon in front of the Taylorsville Police Department located at 109 James Street in Taylorsville, Mississippi. We want everybody to dress in all black. We want everybody to make sure that you travel safely. You know, we don't want anybody spending a dime in Taylorsville. So gas up before you get there. Get your food before you get there. And Jackson is not far from, it's like maybe an hour away. So if you're in Louisiana, if you're in Alabama, if you're in Texas, if you're in Tennessee, you know, all of those surrounding states and towns, everyone needs to descend. If you're up there where you're at in Philly, wherever you at, if you have the means and ways, come down to Taylorsville, Mississippi. Let's show our solidarity. Let's show our unity. And let's let the nation know that we demand justice. October the 14th, 12 noon, Taylorsville, Mississippi Police Department. Justice for Rasheem Carter. And we will have a website available by next week for folks to be able to tap in and register and things of that nature and get more logistics as it relates to the ongoing fight, because this is going to be an ongoing battle. Yes, ma'am. And thank you guys so much for allowing me to come on. And anytime you need us, I'm just a phone call away.
Oh, absolutely, my sister. But listen, before you go, I just want to ask the family, do you have any questions or comments for Sister Muhammad, Crystal Muhammad? If you do, press 1 now. And also, Brother Reeve, if you are in queue, you need to press 1 so that I can see you as well. Again, we're going to ask family if you have any questions or comments for Chairwoman Crystal Muhammad. You need to press 1, and we will certainly take your call, your question, your comment. Let me check to see. You don't have a question. Nobody has a question or comment? Okay. All right. Oh, here we go. We got one right here. Hold on. All right. Oh, there we go. A couple more. All right. Okay, let's go to caller at 9498. Caller at 9498. Your mic is open. Welcome to this segment of New Day.
How you doing, Sister Filet?
Hey, hey, Brother Ray Ray. New York in the house. How you be, brother?
Okay, sorry, family. The worst thing I could do is try to listen to Sister Filet while I'm laying down. That's a major, major problem. Cannot listen to...
What'd you say, Brother Ray Ray? You had to get up?
You cannot... I cannot listen to your program if I'm trying to lay down. Of course, next thing you know, I got the itis, so I have to sit up and listen, or else it's game over. That's what happened last week. I apologize if it happened. But who is the president of the new Black Panther Party?
The president?
We don't have president. We don't have presidents. I'm actually the national chair of the New Black Panther Party.
Is that the party that Minister Khalid was part of?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Actually, Brother Khalid came into the New Black Panther Party. We were founded. It was founded in 1989 in Dallas, Texas. Once Dr. Khalid transition. The party was under Malik Zulu Shabazz, and in 2013 he quit, and I was elected. And since then, I've been chairing. There has been a so-called unfortunate split in which there are two formations, but our formation is, you know, lockstep with the original formation out of Dallas, Texas. With Dr. Khalid, you know, so we are still under that same manual and still follow the same protocol. We are the same brothers and sisters that were on the ground with Dr. Khalid and Jasper when Otis Byrd was drugged.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were the foot soldiers, just to be frank, to the point when Malik was the chair. It was our southern region that was hitting the ground everywhere, and we continue to do so. But to answer mm-hmm. that question, that, you know, that is the case as it stands. I am the national chair and have been such since 2013.
So Malik
right.
Zulu Shabazz is no longer a part of any or any part of it at all. That's the question
I'm
asking.
Well, he came when Hashim and Zynga passed away. He reappointed himself at his funeral. That's a whole nother question. But we do not follow under the direction.
Himself,
I mean, that's
no,
a whole other
nobody
point.
Else, he
no,
reappointed
he
himself and nobody
prison.
Else had anything to say about it? Is he a part of the organization now? Yes or no? That's
Matt,
what I'm wondering.
Brother Ray Ray, he is not a part of our formation. He operates his own formation of the New Black Panther Party. We do not follow under him nor take any direction from him.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the information that you gave on what's going on. And they, once I saw that big giant museum in Washington, D.C., that means the extermination is, because they got the museums.
What museum,
once
Brother
was
Ray,
a proud
what,
people.
What museum are you talking about? So that
the African American
so
Museum in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Here once stood a proud people. And I always have a problem with that museum down there. But thank you very much, Sister Filet, and the wonderful people of Blog Talk Radio. Thank you very much, Sister Filet.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you, my dear, for letting me know if Malik was still a part of it. Thank you very much. Mississippi is them southern states is something else. Well,
yes, indeed.
Okay.
I'm northern too, but we'll get to that at another time. All right, brother. Good thanks. All right, Sam.
Thank you,
brother. One more caller at let's see, 8521. Oops, give me a minute. Yep, your mic is now open. 8521. Welcome to this segment of New Day.
Greetings, President General. How are you? How's everybody?
Hey. Greetings, sis. I'm good. I'm good. Sister Manera in the house, Newark, New Jersey.
Well, I just want to say revolutionary love to the Sister Crystal Muhammad. I've seen her personally at the Mother Sharif's daughter celebration, and when she spoke, I just want to applaud, the work you're doing, boot to the ground, the work, and the powerful message sent out to our black nation. And yes, indeed, we need to get up off our behinds and do something and do it fast, all over this planet. The conditions that we're facing is like, it's just beyond sad. And it's just sad that, our folks are just, joining ranks with police and governmental terrorism that's happening. Negro peons selling out organizations, So I just want to commend you with the work you're doing. I was very much affiliated with the Newark chapter of the New Black Panther Party. I know Brother Sharif, when he came home, he started working with me because I'm a self-made entrepreneur out of Newark, New Jersey. Matter of fact, our carts is on Branford Place across from one another. But he started on my cart. The question I have is that we had a powerful force here in the city of Newark, with the New Black Panther. Now we have the New African Panther Party. And, oh, my God, what is happening here?
Well, you know what? They have, I deal with it. I try to deal with it like this, Queen. We have the New Black Panther Party. Now we have two New Black Panther parties with the formation that Malik is rolling. We have the People's Black Panther Party. We got the People's Political Party. We have the African Black Panther Party. They got the Vanguard Black Panther Party. They have the, and the way I look at it, the Panther belongs to the people. Let's just get down to it. And this formation of the New Black Panther Party came in 1989, and everybody attributes the original Black Panther Party to Oakland with Huey P. Newton. But actually, the first Black Panther Party was raised in Lyons County, Alabama, with Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael. They erected the Black Panther as a political party because the Democrats were racist and were lynching people, as well as the Republicans were racist and lynching people, not allowing people to vote. So they were the first ones to raise the Black Panther Party. Well, Huey P. Knew or was aware of that because he is originally from Monroe, Louisiana. Right. And but they added the Black Panther Party for self-defense. And so the Panther belongs to the people. And as it stands, if they're upholding these different formations, as long as they're upholding the principles of the original 12-point platform, or even close to it, and are doing righteous work. What we have had to do, quite frankly, we've had to check some opportunists who have been trying to use the name of the party for their own personal interest and trying to pimp the people, and we've checked many of them. The party, the image of the Black Panther is ingrained in the hearts and minds of the people. And so if they're doing the work, more power to them. It's a church on every corner. They got the Mount Sinai Baptist Church, the Church of Christ, Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, the Unitarian Church. The way I see it, the Panther is now and is an institution in this government, in this United States, and now globally, because when we went to South Africa in 2016, there was a Pan-African conference held outside of Johannesburg in the area called Orlando. It was convened by the PAC, the Party of Winnie Mandela. And the big buttons, the civilian buttons that most people have. I had like about 100 of them. I was going to sell them, And I got to the convention. There was black people from Uganda and Zimbabwe and Mozambique and you name it, all over Africa. And they was like, hey, Black Panther, I want one. I couldn't even fix myself to sell it. I just wanted to give them away. I was just so amazed that every nation knew about the Black Panther Party.
Right,
and so,
right.
You know, I gave them away. Next thing you know, when we took the picture, of half the people had a button on, you know. And so the Panther belongs to the people. Our formation, when we had our split, we said we would not go out and publicly bash any other formation. And
right.
I still stand on that today, even though we might have personal differences with individuals, with the moves that they made or did. Unless they're attacking us now, we've had to check them. We've had to check a few people. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got no problem checking them, but we, again, are not going out on and being aggressive as it relates to that. So that's my position on that, Queen. But Brother Sharif is still our national field marshal. He still, you know, is a part of the new Black Panther Party under our formation. And, you know, he was actually working on getting that chapter going, you know, before this horrific thing happened with his daughter. And he's still trying to get his bearings together. It was just, a week before last when they finally sentenced those people who, you know.
I was in the president's. Well, actually on
yes,
the call, you know. So
on the Zoom, that's right. At the court.
Yeah, because I know his children from when they was children, because, you know, like I said, me and Brother Sharif, we was comrades. And,
yes,
you know, I never was in the chapter, but I was very much affiliated, you know, because of, you know, I didn't like certain things that was going on within the chapter, you know. So, and then, you know, we had a little, you know, situation that we never really, you know, reconciled or whatever, because they try to, like, you know, sweep it under the rug. So that was a whole nother case, another story. But, I know his children, like his firstborn, you know, it was just sad, you know, and I support it, you know, when that happens.
We got to get on to the next
segment. Yeah, I know,
to the brother.
But anyway, you know, like I said, I, you know, the work that you're doing, the work that must continue, and I'm concerned about, like, is there actually a chapter in Newark? Because I know it was a chapter. Is that resolved?
It's not dissolved. We have, like I said, the point person was Brother Sharif as our national field marshal. And so he, you know, was actively working on getting a more active chapter going before this happened. And so, you know, he is still the main point person. And if you're, you know, willing to work with him and help him get it back going, you know, Sharif hasn't given up. Even with this horrific thing that is taking place to him, he is still, you know, very much, you know, still a soldier and still, you know, willing and ready to do the work. And so I would recommend getting with Sharif directly, and he'll, you know, direct you in that manner. We do have a few other comrades that are there, and if you reach out to me, right now I'm saying nbpp.org. If you can send a quick message, I'll shoot you my number directly, because I'm going to be the one that sends the message.
Cool. Or maybe we can, collaborate.
Or
do
you
want to
get it from
NBC? Yeah,
I'm
going to
do what I'll do, family, I will make sure both of you get one another's email address and telephone number, if that's okay.
Perfect.
Not a problem.
Thank you so much, sister. Black power.
Black power.
All right, family. We got to move forward on to our next segment, but I want to thank Sister Crystal Muhammad again for, you know, sharing that information. And we're going to be revisiting some of this. And again, we have these conversations, family, but our intention is to come up with solutions and also plans of action. And so in the very near future, you're going to hear what some of that is, as Sister Crystal mentioned and others have in the past. You know, we have to start organizing our youth. And again, as mothers, what is our plan to do that? So we're going to talk more about that for next month when we bring our Million Woman World March Assembly. Our first one is coming next month, and that will entail strategy sessions, workshops, and other things, particularly for our sisters to begin to develop the think tanks and other modes of operations to get the job done. Again, thank you,
That's
Sister
right.
Crystal. Thank you, Sister Manira and Brother Ray Ray for, you know, really making this segment. Yep, much love to all of you. And sis, I will talk with you tomorrow and definitely next week when we talk further with the family.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. And we appreciate all the work you do, Queen. Black power.
Oh, good thanks, Ashe. Black power to you. All right, family, again, that was Sister Crystal Muhammad, chairwoman of the new Black Panther Party. All right, we're going to move on to the next segment. Unfortunately, we're going to talk about some other things that is pressing in our community, and we're going to talk with our brother, Raven Fellows, who, again, is going to share with us what's going on in Chicago, as Chairman Frisch often says, Chirac. But what you're going to hear now, family, is going on in a whole bunch of cities. That being, you know, people coming into the Black community, with some called immigrants, with some called migrants, whichever. But the fact still remains that people are coming into our community and they're getting services. Now, again, I'd like to know what your opinion is about this, but I'm going to have Brother Reeve to break it down for you of what's going on in Chicago, and then we can talk with you about what your thoughts are. Is going on in New York, and big shout-out to my sister Keisha. She's out there, and Thorough Black Talk is coming back this week, y'all, so Thursday, make sure you check out Thorough Black Talk, 8 o'clock. On YouTube and Facebook and a few other venues, but again, if you push in Thorough Black Talk, you'll see it'll pop up. But anyway, let's go to our live line and let's talk with our brother Raven Fellows is here, and we're going to talk about what's going on in Chicago, particularly two areas of things. One, of course, is the education of our children. Do they really need sex education in elementary school? And then, of course, again, let's talk about immigrants coming into the Black community. Hey, Brother Reeve, how you be?
I'm trying to stay blacknificent. That's what I am, blacknificent all day. How you doing?
You know, brother, I always say as long as we can be on this mic, you know, and share with our people and get some of this work done, it's going to always be a good day.
And I've been hearing the sisters and brothers talking. We got a lot of work to do. God is forcing our hands, so we're going to get obedient soon or we're going to suffer to death. As soon as we unify the game, as I heard, the sister was saying, as soon as we come together and be about our Father's business, it flips over overnight. It ain't even a Revolutionary War. It turned upside down like you're looking at all these hurricanes moving in places suspiciously. So, but I just talk about thank you for what you do, connecting our people and keeping the message live. One, you mentioned about the sex ed in Chicago. We have a scenario here where when the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, was elected, and she is LGBTQ. She's married to a Jewish woman when she was in office. And once she won the victory of the first Black, I guess, openly gay woman in Illinois, in less than a year of their work, they passed the LGBTQ alphabet to be taught, Black history to be taught in the schools, and the Black History Bill that's been on the books since 1991 was laying dormant for almost 30 years and still laying dormant. So that began to push further into now we have a bill out of Chicago, Senate Bill 818 and House Bill 24, Public Act 102-0522. They, in the short term, the conversation is there in third grade, earlier than third grade and maybe earlier, talking to young people about sexual preference, that you possibly a boy but not a boy, you're a girl but not a girl, you're neutral, and even going as far as talking about young girls learning oral sex in the elementary school, early child development, and then talking about booty plugs for young boys that maybe want to do sexual activity. These things are being raised as early as the elementary school level, as first, second grade, probably even earlier. And so that's going on. We got a group of sisters, Dr. Gail Frazier, National Black Agenda, Sister Erica, and Sister Doris, some of the sisters here, who also work with Jefferson Ellison, the minister. They have been pushing it hard with biblical scripture, with context, and our clergy and elected officials have been quiet, been a mouth pissing on cotton. And so we sitting here while our children are being, what do you want to say, molested in the schools with information. You know, I always tell them, I send my grandbaby to learn about math and science. I don't need you to talk about sex. I can handle that. If you start talking gender specific and you start talking about you ain't a boy, you ain't a girl, all this stuff leads to a conversation about sex. When I only sent her to get math, science, reading, and English, I don't know how we get this going here. That ain't what y'all job is. And they're forcing it down our children. Now, you can opt out if you like, but most black parents don't know this being taught, so you can't opt out of something you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are fearful and not fearful. Not spiritual.
Point of clarity, just for one moment. Is this a... Okay, is this legislation for all of the schools,
yeah,
or is it just?
And then
okay.
you can opt out. So again, the key word in small print: you can opt out. So they use that to judge. We're not pushing it down, children. If you don't want your children to have it, well, what do you know? If I don't opt out, and you already taught it, by the time I opt out, it's already a subject conversation with the children. They not moving to another class fast enough. And again, the people here don't really know that that's actually going on with their grandchildren and children. And so we have a massive amount of black churches here that they got to stand on principle. You know, if you LG, whatever you feel you want to be, but you don't enforce that on my children at no school at no early age when they're trying to decide whether they play a hot stop, double dutch, tomboy, tomgirl. That ain't your role. And so Dr. Frazier has been moving heavy, and they've been pushing it. So, again, people don't know, but they're not taking action because they don't think this is serious. Your child is actually being taught sex education that she's not a boy. He's not a boy, but he could be a girl. She's not a girl, could be a boy. If not, they may be neutral. When the hell did God become neutral when it comes to man and woman?
Wow. Brother Reed, when you get a chance, can you send me the bill, the whatever was passed,
yes,
so we can circulate it to folk? Because
yes,
we need to make sure that our people are able to see up close and personal what has happened. Because people don't believe that these things are going on. They really think that, you know, when they hear that there has to be a process to, you know, for legislation, that the people have to do this, and they need to see that some of this stuff don't work like that. It goes through its own channel. So when you get the opportunity, please either text me or email me that.
I'll take a picture and send it over to you. And we've already adjusted to the governor, to the mayor, and legislators here, and the black clergy. Why are black clergy siding on the Governor Pritzker's sex education bill, Senate Bill 818, and House Bill 24, question, June 13th, 2023. So, again, our leadership is sitting here not talking about that, and we're getting wiped out. Then, as you know, our other conversation is the migration of the migrants here. And, you know, they had one police officer having sex with a migrant, and they caught him, and nobody went for it. He was smoking weed, out there lottering, sex trafficking in the black community, and lottering and smoking weed and jumping the fence over there in Woodlawn where one of the schools are that they first were protested. And now there's some opposition here. But at the end of the day, they still go forward with their mandate to make sure they do it. And even when we stop, and let me back up, I switched real quick. I didn't mean to let you switch me over, but I was just leading into the floor. I know you wanted me to discuss the migration of the migrants here.
Right.
And our police stations are full. So the homeless veterans in Chicago, it's illegal to, if you're in every major city, if y'all take a look, veterans got first preference to get in line. I don't care where you're at, the public aid office, the hospital. If they got a VA, they move in front of the line. I don't know about anywhere, but in Chicago, veterans get preference, housing and everything and services. So how do we bring migrants from another place that don't vote here, don't live here, don't pay taxes here, and move in front of veterans on the Vidoc? Or on the corner, who've been amputated from Vietnam, mentally messed up from the Agent Orange drugs, and they out there saying, can I get a quarter of a dollar with a cardboard sign? They done moved these people in hotels in $100, $200 a night hotels. And all the black homeless people are peeing in the porta potty. They done put a whole washroom on the wing of the building for them to take showers.
Wow.
And that's not to count the young children. Our children in Chicago are on the corners because not because they're homeless. Their parents either kick them out, force them out from old school big mamas. They ain't going to be my way. Get up out of here. I don't want to have to kill you. And then you got another group that they being molested in the house. So the girls ain't staying there. The boys being molested in the house. And all things going on. So they're actually homeless. So when they say, why are they on the corner? Think about it. A lot of these children don't have nowhere to go. And why you saying, well, their mama and daddy at there fending for themselves. But these young people can't find shelter for homeless students. And they brought a group of people, which is mostly pedophiles, crime people. They don't have a background. They're coming from across the border. A lot of them are Cachapo people and no background yet. And so our children stay on the corner. Our veterans on the corner. Women out there are homeless. They're under the Vidoc in Tent City. And they put them in a brand new hotel in Hyde Park, one of our elitist communities of blacks, Harold Washington, Carol Moseley Braun, right next to Carol Moseley Braun, former senator, and they just put the migrants next door to her. The hotel was going bandit since COVID. It's a hotel where all the black elites go, political people after work, have a drink, mix and mingle, buffet. It stayed dormant for a whole time, boarded up, they stripped it. Shoot, in less than 3 weeks, they had put tenant windows in it, and the migrants living there in Hyde Park, Chicago.
It was roughly about 300. Is that roughly the number?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they bring them 1,000 in a day, but that was the three they dropped over there on that side there. They're literally coming every day. And so the new director of Operation Push that came out of Texas, I think his name right now, but we went to a meeting and they had a press conference. Operation Push is supporting migrants. Talk about their human beings too. Really? And so when y'all grabbed us from our motherland and brought us over here and enslaved us and worked us 40 years, 40 days, 40 nights, 400 years to build this country, we were human at the time then. Ain't nobody saying nothing about our people. So it's a mess.
What is the justification that the government people are saying as to why? How are they justifying this?
So this is the language. As my boy Mark, our brother Mark, rest in peace, Mark Allen, says, I'm glad you asked. This is the trickery. It's the difference between migrants and immigrants. So if they escape from asylum and land in Texas, then come here, they migrants. They not illegal immigrants. Trick on words.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Asylum. You know, I went to Chicago for the school. Maybe I got it twisted. But at the end of the day, Salem, they come here. So they, because they migrants, they're giving them, they're not, means they came here, they have been here, they just ain't been processed. So they justify bringing them here and getting them on the roster. But the problem becomes, in my personal opinion, black men and black women in Chicago, we cowards. Anytime you let people run in front of your children, your grandchildren, children, and take everything, and then take everything from you, we and all this history here, Chairman Fred, and then Cobra, every black leader, national leader here, you have 30,000 some black churches is here, NAACP, Urban League, Operation Push, all this leadership, Baptist Pentecostal, first black president, first black senator, first black mayor, all this going on, 89, and they didn't come in and just took over all of what we had with no fight, no pushback, Sister Doris. If you want to go on Fox News, Google Doris Lewis. She's from Chicago. She's a former Chicago public school. She's a teacher, activist, just as an elf. And she lit them up on Fox News. First, she went to the town hall. We went viral. Now, I was hoping she could get on tonight, but she's been exhausted going off on these people.
Oh,
and
she I played the clip that you sent me. I opened up with that. The clip that you sent me with the sister, I did play that earlier. Yep.
Okay, Sister Doris. Sister Doris is not playing with these people. Her conversation, I don't give a damn about a migrant immigrant if my children ain't eating. Take their ass back to where they come from. That's what she told them. And so, and they told her to shut up, be quiet, and to meet. She said, if you can't hear them, take your ass up on the stage. Excuse my language. Go up there and sit next to them. But she ain't playing. She calling everybody out, black men, black women. Y'all let these people get in front of my babies. And she's a former school teacher. And so, and she puts up money where her mouth is. But you got to look at that. So Doris is making ruckus up about it, but we are not, our leadership here is putting migrants before black teens, girls, and boys who are homeless in the street, and especially our veterans. That is not right, not fair. In some cases, it should be illegal.
So, Brother B, that takes us to our open mic question. You just segued us right into it, and it's this. What are we going to do with these politicksters? These people who are in these offices and are definitely not representing us. Now, you, of course, we've had this conversation before, so it's not anything new to us. The same thing here in Philadelphia. These people have just run butt wild. But I mean, what can we begin to do to change this scenario?
Yeah, you want me to make a statement behind, or you want me to open my cup?
Yes.
Okay. Well, first thing we do is do a disclaimer. Black people love everybody. If not, we'd have probably killed everybody by now the way we've been treated here. So we're not a violent people like that. Like the sister said, we don't mess with people. We give it all the Chinese money with our hair and weave, so we must love them very well. We give it all. It's a car. We buy shrimp, fried rice, and food, y'all. We buy chew down points. We buy, and we eat everybody's food, buy every product. So we ain't anti-nobody. So quit telling that lie. With that disclaimer being said, and we are the first mother, first teacher, Mother Earth, Mother Wit, and we the original people, then we got this. We done built this country, the United States of America. You are not going to bring other people here. We have not registered to vote. We have not voted here. Who has not been black taxation reputation, and move them in front of our grandchildren. And anybody that's on that type of shit gonna get your ass whooped. That's just the way I gotta go at this point. Whoever it is, I'm just saying, if that don't happen, I'm using the words, because people don't pay attention till we start cussing and tearing some shit up. That's when you see when Ray Ray went downtown, everybody wanted to have a negotiation. After George Floyd, with all the young little Ray Rays and Bay Bays, them going to loot and, I mean, rebellion, we call it. Everybody that sat down on George Floyd when it came from a rebellion of young people and sat in the room with their old behind, and then Ray Ray wasn't in the room that they got all this George Floyd money coming, called equity and diversity. So they start talking. I don't advocate none, but I'm just saying we got to take a position for our children. When our children see we take a position of fighting when it's wrong, then they'll take a position of loving their elders. When they wrong, you stand on it. When they right, you jump up and you be the biggest cheerleader there is. And them children have been in a position of right, and we've been browbeating them, tell them to lock them up, throw away the key. I wish he would carjack me. I'm going to shoot that little, and he 11-year-old carjack, and your ass going to church talking about you Christian, and you want to kill a damn baby, and you got insurance on your car. Stop. Well, that's a little bit how I deal with it. I don't know about that.
All right. All right, family. Listen, we're going to open up the mic for y'all. You heard the report, and love to hear what your thoughts are, your comments are. We want to hear some, get some input from you all. So let's do that. If you have a question or a comment, for Brother Reeve, in regards to, Brother Reeve, I thank you for breaking that down for me, because I saw the change in the language from immigrant to migrant. And I was wondering, okay, what is this? So thank you for that clarity, because I was wondering about that. But family, anyway.
So there's one more, please.
Okay.
They have passed a law in Illinois, so y'all be careful, to hire migrants to be the police. So they're going to go from sleeping in the police station to being police chiefs in the police station. So this, that is passed in Illinois for them to be the police.
What?
Get out of here. And the police is buying them groceries and food and water and Pampers. And while they're shooting black people down in the street, I'm going to be quiet, baby.
Wow. Okay. Sister Manir, your mic, I believe, is still open. Did you have a comment or something you want to say about that?
Wow. We in a state of emergency. And like our sister said earlier, you know, we at war. You know, and if we don't, like, we had what was our rallying call? Our war call was race first.
Yeah.
You know, if we just don't get it by now that, you know, we had a state of emergency and we had war, and these people are not working in our interest, like you said, the politics is. So what we need to do, of course, is, you know, sound the war horn, and what we need to do is assemble as such, because if we don't do something fast, you know, instead of talking, you know, like this conversation is very much, you know, what we need to have, but we need to start applying a lot of things we say. Now, what we're doing here in the city of Newark, because we got politricksters and failed leadership, there is a recall on the horizon, because these folks have, with the sanctuary stuff, allowing these people to come in here and just, you know, get jobs, get housing, get shelter, get grants, get loans. So we calling for them to be recalled. And then we also pushing right now to put a referendum on the ballot, to get term limits on the ballot, and also we have some council people who don't even live our city, physically live in. So we calling on a referendum that any council person that sits on our council, our city hall, our city government, where they have to come to the people to elect them, they must live here and physically live here, and not in Franklin Lakes, and not in Hillside and not in Somerset, where our mayor who once lived here, you know, live in Somerset now, in the city of Newark. So there's a lot of things, but people are actually, you got the hip-hop community. It's so bad with them just opening up the floodgate, migrant gate, or whatever you want to call it, letting these people in to, you know, basically move us. Look, they just at war with us, you know, period. They wedge war on us. It's intensified. You know, they've been doing it, but it's like they up the ante on us. Now, you know, how they moving them in here and moving us out of the way as any way possible. So you got people who want Trump so bad, even though I don't support him, but he did say, put up a wall, do this, Americans first. You know, and you got people that are so, you know, like, we want Trump back. Because this failed leadership that we have, it is just a, it's just abomination of what our failed leaderships are doing to us. It's treason. It's malfeasance. It's all, it's some of everything. And then they even, you know, you got people doing parties for them. We had this council and this administration, the fake leadership here, you know, call themselves so much in love with our people. They actually having parties and festivities and all kind of stuff, rallying up with these folks who don't give a damn about us. So it's, wow, it's just a lot. And to the brother, you know, about the legislation, I don't support any of that, you know, as far as the sex stuff that's in the schools. Hands off the children. I mean, they don't need to learn academics and learn how to start their own business and learn business development and financial literacy and other stuff, and you want to put this stuff on our children. You know, the problem is that I go to school board meetings. We got sexual harassment investigation that the students and the staff are being sexually harassed in Newark Public Schools right now. The reports just came out. I think I forward you a copy of the report, President General. We got poor food. We got 275 fire code violations. The school just burnt down out of nowhere here in the city of Newark. But the issue is that where are our people? Where on God's green earth is our people, the parents? The school board meetings be just a few of us, and there's only a few, you know, revolutionaries, freedom fighters here in the city of Newark, along with myself, that goes to every council meeting to shut them down, have to be escorted out, police, goes to school board meetings, have to be shut it down, because we go raise holy hell. But where on earth is the community? Where on earth are the parents? Do you have love for your children about what's going on?
Let's go back to Brother Reed.
That is going on here. We don't even have the so-called revolutionaries and militants coming, shutting down these meetings.
Sister Manera, can you hear me? Hold that point. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to Brother Reeve. Brother Reeve, you still there?
Yeah, she right on point. And the war is being waged on. It's different between being at war and the war being waged on you. Go ahead. But let me say this to her, too. In Chicago, there's a term in this shop when you're talking to recall. Start the first conversation with a vote of no confidence in the councils. at every level. We declare a vote of no confidence with our elected officials. Then you come with that second phase. Okay. So you round for, I'm just sharing with you that strategy, and then you begin to call a recall with the right legislators pushing them. But I'm glad you that is really what needs to take place.
We done tried all that, brother, and we done called on every revolutionary, every community-based organization, militant organization here in the city, all of these fake revolutionaries or whatever. We done called on all these people about a vote of no confidence, about term limits, about they don't act like they don't even hear us. And matter of fact, some of them are working with the politricians and the police.
Well, this is the new army.
In terms of shutting us down.
So let me share this with you. The children, this is what's happening. God, they've snatched the heart out of revolutionary. There's a few sisters and soldiers still standing. Some people got paid and bought. Some people are giving up spiritually. And some people watch what they did with Chairman Fred, what they did with Rakia Boyd, what they did with Jim. So they put fear in the people in the covert that put us in lockdown like we're in stations. That new rising is what God is bringing up through these young people that are rebellion, that we got to tap into them and give them the truth. And they will take it to the streets, and they're scared of them, and they're not scared of us. So if you get the right young sisters and soldierettes to feel where they are, because there's a lot of them ready to go, they just need to drop that seat. What is a recall? What is a vote of no confidence? Y'all getting shot down. You get put in jail. You get beat up by the police. You're homeless. They're mistreating your education. That group, there's a group there. There's a bombing killer. We got to find that one, the group with the fire, and watch how they climb with these people, because them people scared of our young people. And if you get them, the old guard's got to be for counsel. Young girls and young boys got to be for war. And we have not done a good job of teaching our young people. We, a lot of us, kept from home and didn't kick to the meat. But I would suggest God is creating a new army of soldiers. These are fearless young people spitting on the police, going to jail. They not playing, and these people cannot control it. They just need to be channeled to be able to protect our women and community. And there's a lot of young people. We just got to find them and ask the Most High where they at. They are on fire. They're Harriet Tubman. They search on the truth. They ought to be well. They mark as God. They there because God always breeds a new one, but we got to go find them. And that's
let me tell you what's happening to the fearless one.
And
let me tell you what's happening.
I'm
going to close with this. I'm going to tell you what's happening to the fearless one, because that is me for sure. And we got a few others. Let me tell you what is happening. These people they got their street enforcers. See, the government, they done gave them grants. They done gave all these organizations, all of these so-called folks that's supposed to be revolutionary black militants, they got grants now. And let me tell you what they doing. They, like I just said, we got one brother that just, like, now this is what they do. They call you federal informant.
What is that saying?
They destroy you. They assassinate your character and then all this stuff. This is what we got organizations that is doing to the fearless ones that's on the front line in this city. Every last one of us, they done gave us a name of police informant and this and this and that. Send the police, sending a street enforcer. This is what's happening, because we here. We are here, and we ain't backing down. We ain't backing down to none of their games. None of their name calling, and none of their labeling, and none of their terrorism. We are here.
Well, I
problem is that
we only have a few minutes. Sister Veneer, we only have a few minutes, so let's got to get ready to close out. So I want to give it over to Brother Reeve.
You know,
I want to give it over to Brother Reeve so that we can get ready to close out. We only have a few more minutes. So, Brother Reeve, the next time we have this talk, this conversation, we're going to talk about what we need to do, as Sister Veneer just indicated, and you as well. You know, but I want to get us focused on, rather than attempting to reform or change the system, and I'm not saying don't do that. I mean, you know, I'm not saying, you know, to totally forget that. But what I'm saying is we're not putting enough time and energy on what we need to do independently. So the next time we have this conversation, I want us to start focusing a little more on what are we going to do to build our own independent everything. So I'm going to get the mic over to Brother Reeve because we have a few more minutes. Brother Reeve, you're going to close us out with your comments and so forth. So you got it.
Well, you know, they're trying to kill us, brothers. And there's a lot of us brothers standing up, and as the sisters say, they come sisters. But what I would say in opening instead of closing to the next time, God's will and the Most High, whatever you call them, I would ask the sisters and brothers too to take a look at the movie Pray the Devil Back to Hell, where they elected the first black female president of Liberia. And God's willing, I'll be in Liberia October 2nd. But those women became sick and tired. And you could, I've been sharing with women, look at that movie and then look at what they did and picture yourself in Philly. Picture yourself in Newark. Let the Most High talk to you women spiritually through the wounds, your heart, and your soul, of which y'all always do to fight for our children and men that've been there while we try to get ourselves together as men. That movie was successful where Muslim and Christian women came together, put on all white. They were getting raped. They were getting beat down, shot. The young brothers had guns. The dictator was clowning. It was just chaos. And when those women spiritually got together, Christian and Muslim women, and began to strategically organize, mobilize to go down to the dictator's house with death threats and still pray. And then when they went to the parliament and went to the government to have a conversation, they sat with them big hips, big bodies, and locked them in the room, say, y'all ain't coming out here to y'all deal with this business. Told the black men, not a Spike Lee, you can't have sex, but a spiritual resurrection where women use the children and sex to make men behave about violence, not on your personal preference of flesh, a spiritual resurrection that when you tell black men they can't see their children, ain't going to eat in a spiritual way, God will reveal you can't get home. Brothers going to sit down at the table. But if you watch that movie, they registered about 1,000 women to vote, and they took the guns out them boys' hands and elected the first black woman president of Liberia. I think that's a start to what we can look at until we get our minds back together and focus on the moment. Because there's going to be some killing. God is using the children that we have not protected. And because you said the Black Panther Party, Christian Baptist, we are all divided. And God's saying, if y'all can't unify, I'll suffer you unto your children. So that would be my suggestion, God's will, that we see each other.
All right, Brother Reeve, I give thanks. Family, we have come to the end of this segment. We want to thank you. That was powerful. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm going to definitely look up that film and possibly show it next month when we commemorate 26 years straight of no nonsense, no kiss butt, Million Woman March next month is our 26th year anniversary. Family, I hope you will support. We don't ask for much. We really don't. You know, we've been doing this radio program for 14 straight years, and we have not 26 straight years of work and commitment. So we're hoping that for next month you will support in whatever way possible to help bring this movement forward. Again,
If you want more information about MWM, our programs that we're getting ready to initiate for the Million Woman World March, this is now our first assembly. We have several others coming, but you have to get involved now if, in fact, you want to know what's really going on. Now is the time. So tell me again, we thank everyone for tuning in to this segment of New Day. Sisters, the Sistar Soldiers, calling on y'all. It's time to step up. A lot of the women here in Philly, they dropped the ball. Yes, I said it. They not only dropped the ball, but they tried to destroy the Million Woman March right here in Philadelphia. And we're going to tell that story very soon when I issue the new release of the 100 Amazing Facts about the Million Woman March. We're going to tell some stuff now for real. At any rate, family, I want to thank you all again for tuning into this segment. Thank Brother Reeve, of course, for always bringing us some truth to power from Chicago and then some. Can't wait to for your trip, brother, to, you know, to Africa, because I know that's going to be powerful. And also want to thank Sister Manira, always, always bringing it. And, of course, Sister Crystal Muhammad for sharing with us. And don't forget, the rally is coming up. Mississippi, goddamn. That's right. That's what Queen Empress Nina called it. Nina Simone, that is. And, again, that'll be October the 15th. We're calling for our brothers, those of you who went to the Million Man March. And if you're not doing something in commemoration of the Million Man March this year, well, come join us in Mississippi. It's the day before the commemoration of the Million Man March. Well, what a way to commemorate, to stand up in Mississippi to get justice for our brothers who have been murdered there. Again, if you want more information about that, because I will be assisting with some of the coordination for that event, you can contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can text me at 267-636-3802. Again, we want our brothers. Commemorate the Million Man March if that meant something to you. October 15th, join us in Mississippi. All right, family, we're going to close this segment out. Again, we've been talking with Brother Reeve Fellows, and, of course, we had Sister Manira with us, and certainly Brother Ray Ray was on earlier. And again, we thank Sister Crystal Muhammad. We'll be back next week, same time. We have a special edition coming up on Monday. It's a 411. We're calling for our black veterans. Yes, Monday, 9:30. A call to black veterans to help us rebuild our communities. Help us create our own safety and security patrols in our communities. We talked tonight about different things. Well, here's a plan of action. Those brothers who serve, let's honor Dr. Mutula Shakur. He came home from the service, and you know what he did? He went into the community and started what? Clinics to service our people, to get them off of heroin. He also provided other training. So we're saying to our brothers who served for somebody to now service our people. Again, Monday, 9:30. We'll be sending out some e-blasts in Texas, so please feel free to share. Again, family, we thank you all for tuning in to this segment of New Day. You've heard the problems, and you've also heard a few potential solutions, and you're going to get some more of that in the very near future. But until next time, we're going to say promote to the Shinda. Together we shall win. And Brother Reeve, and Sister Manir, you know what we also say? If there's no justice, there's no what?
It ain't going to be no peace.
You're goddamn right. All right, family. Talk to you next time. Remember, MWM, Universal Movement, is now also bringing forward the MWWM, Million Woman World March. Y'all ain't seen nothing yet. Talk to you later. Peace out.
Warrior salute. Warrior salute.